Tina Kumarianis is here. And how'd the cleanup go in Rathdrum? All good?
Yeah, it was amazing, Declan. We did a big advertising campaign to get people to come out and clean up at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And yes, some people came out, but you know, the vast majority of them were the Ukrainians who are living in the village. They were absolutely amazing, men, women and children. They came out, an army of them, and they really cleaned up. You know, they went round every side street, up around the school, everywhere, and they were really, really amazing, and I just want to say thank you so much to them. Now, the thing is, if anyone, we do have a Rathdrum Ukrainian support group, and they can be contacted through Rathdrum Tidy Towns Facebook or Tidy Towns Rathdrum@gmail.com, and you know, they'd love to hear from you for you know, if you want to lend a hand or you know anything about, or you know, these are new people in our town and we'd love to welcome them. They're such nice people. I had a chat with a lot of them and they couldn't have been nicer. Now the other thing is tonight, St. Patrick's Day meeting in the annex behind the RDA Hall at 7 p.m. We are desperately looking for floats and for, you know, help to man the parade. So anyone who can give any help, Jimmy O'Shaughnessy's the man, but we do have a meeting at 7 o'clock tonight.
Very good. Okay, we better squeeze in some queries here.
I'm moving on.
Okay, dear Tina, I was married for 25 years to a wonderful woman, but 7 years ago, she died. And since then, I've lived alone. We never had any children. Over the past 2 years, I've gone out on a few dates, mostly one-night stands. Nothing serious, but these women wanted to meet again with me. And as I didn't want anything permanent, I didn't go. A year ago, I decided the best way to avoid this problem would be to see a female escort, which I did. She was so kind and lovely that over time I've developed very strong feelings to her and she for me. She works on her own and has no ties to any agency or manager. She is separated, has 3 children, one has special needs and he costs a lot of money to care for. This is why she became an escort, as she earns €300 for 2 hours. She wants to move in with me with the children, but says she will need to continue to be an escort for another year to 18 months to pay back her debts. I'm just wondering if you think this would work, us living together and her still working. I think it would be, I would be okay with it, but what do you think?
Well, now this is a big ask and only you can really know the answer as to your tolerance for this sort of thing. I think you ran shy of the other ladies after one date to avoid getting into a permanent relationship. You met up with this lady who was easier to get on with, as you thought you knew there were no strings attached. The thing is, you felt at ease in her company, which is lovely, but you must remember that that's part of her work, to make people feel at ease and happy. If she didn't, she wouldn't be in business. I do kind of worry about her not having a minder in case she got into difficulties. Now, listen, I'm not saying for a moment that this is absolutely not going to work. And I commend her for doing this line of work if she thinks it's the only answer to paying off her debts quickly and looking after her children. But I honestly can't see many people, especially those who have had a very ordinary, happy marriage and who weren't into swinging, etc., being comfortable with their partner basically going out on the game most nights while they sat at home babysitting someone else's children, especially when you have never had any children of your own. When she's paid off her debts, are you prepared to bankroll a family of 5 till she finds another job? That's you and the 4 people who would be coming to live with you. Does she at least get child maintenance for the children to help out? I know it's been done before. People meet and they marry and there are children involved, but this is just a little bit different in that it might be more difficult to accept what's going on if they all move in now. And there is also her child with special needs to consider. Is she paying a lot for therapy, etc.? And would you be expected to take that expense on? If it were me, and I was mad about the person, I would wait until she gives up this line of work, because if you really, really do love her, as I said, it's going to be very difficult to accept, despite what you might think. What if she is recognised by former clients that you may know, all things that you may not have considered, may not have crossed your mind and taken into consideration. Another thing you have to think about, unpleasant as it may seem, and not only with this particular lady, with anyone you got into a serious relationship with, what if things go wrong? Depending on how far you take this relationship, this could cost you a lot of money and heartache. If things don't work out, how would you feel? In fact, would you be capable of asking her and the children to leave your house? You've had her company one-to-one, so to speak, with no interruptions. You won't get that with three children in your home. And then there's the guilt if things don't work out on the jealousy side. Would you not only be breaking up with her, you'd be breaking up with her three children as well. In the back of your mind, would you be thinking, if she fell for me and I was a client, who is she with tonight? If it were me, I would leave things until she's completely out of the business. As I say, I'm not saying it won't work. She's probably lovely, but just be very careful. You're taking on an awful lot when you've never dealt with children in the past. And, you know, you've had a very sedate married life. It seems to be a bit of a gallop, is all I'd say. A bit of a gallop.
Yes, okay. Well, thanks for that.
Well, what do you think, Declan? Do you think it would work? Do you think
I don't know. I don't know the people involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's mixing business and pleasure. Are we off the meter tonight or not? I don't
know. Well, this is it. And of course she's lovely. She has to be at her job. She's in hospitality, horizontal hospitality. Yeah, carry on.
Okay, I'm going to go to number three here.
Okay.
Hi, Tina. My brother passed away suddenly, intestate, in January 2021. And in May 2021, that's 5 months later, his wife, my sister-in-law, passed away. In my sister-in-law's will, I was left my brother's farm, which I've been looking after since. There are two executors of the will, both my sister-in-law's sisters. It is now nearly 2 years since they died, and to date, the solicitor appointed for administration of the estate will not answer any queries, either from myself or the executors, concerning the estate. Both myself and the executors have called and emailed, but to no avail. Now, very recently, due to storm damage on one of the sheds, the insurance people, assuming there is an insurance on the property, need to be contacted to come out to assess the damage, as it is in a dangerous position. Can you tell me who was responsible to sort out this current damage or for any possible further damage? Should any galvanized sheeting blow away on the road and hit a passing bit of traffic or people? I mean, who's liable for this? Is there anything other than reporting the solicitor to the Law Society, which is lengthy, it's a big form, and it's an unnecessary job, and all we need to do is to get some answers.
Yeah, well, firstly, thank you for writing in. I'm sorry, I'm not a qualified solicitor to deal with legal problems properly, but a few things did jump to my mind on reading your mail, and I just didn't want to write you and say, no, sorry, I can't help you. Now, this is my opinion. Firstly, if your brother and his wife died intestate, which is with no wills, how do you know the farm was left to you? Where is their will stating this? And if there is one, there are two executors, so there should be a will somewhere. You say your two sister-in-laws by marriage are, you know, the executors. So there has to be a will if there are executives. Why is this taking so long? Why is this solicitor not responding? If it were me, I would be uneasy about his reluctance to respond to your calls and emails. That's what he is being paid for. Secondly, is the solicitor dealing with their affairs, your deceased brother and sister-in-law's own solicitor, or someone employed by your remaining sisters-in-law? In other words, is it your brother's solicitor, or is this a solicitor employed by your sisters-in-law? If the person is your brother's solicitor, What was he or she thinking of letting them die intestate? As you see, dying intestate without making a will is a very long and arduous job, if in fact that is what actually happened. In my own case, when my mother-in-law died in Scotland, it was stated in her will that there was a box with very expensive jewellery and other items to be divided with my daughter, my sister-in-law and myself. However, when the time came, my sister-in-law said she couldn't find the box, which she had been keeping. That was 20 years ago. She has since passed away, leaving two sons, and now they're in their 20s. We never found the box, but the son's girlfriend, who has been seen around the village wearing the jewellery, but anyway, we never went after it. Odd as it sounds, it puts a wry smile on my face, as they were two covetous old ladies, and they must be rolling in their graves that this girlfriend is now wearing their very expensive jewellery. Anyway, back to you. My immediate reaction was that maybe your sisters-in-law were holding up production, but they seem to be as blocked as you are, and they are the executors, which brings me back to the fact that executors are named when you are making a will. Are you absolutely sure there isn't a will lurking around somewhere? Now to your original question. As the estate has not yet been finalised, your deceased sister-in-law's estate is responsible for any repairs, as the property has not been legally transferred to you as yet, and as you say, it could become a danger to the public. The estate has a duty of care. Again, I'm not qualified in laws, so I would contact the Citizens Advice Bureau and ask them what your course of action should be. They should be able to point you in the right direction. In the meantime, I would email the solicitor again asking if there is insurance on the farm buildings, and if so, he or she needs to get an assessor out to view the damage with a view to repairing it before it falls into more serious disrepair. If there is no insurance, state that funds must be made available from the estate for the maintenance of the dangerous building. You have not got the funds to repair it, and even if he points out that you are farming it, it is still not legally yours. You are a tenant. It is up to the owner or the estate to repair it. The will has not yet been finalised in law. If this works, it could save you some money personally, as it would have to come out of the overall estate, I should imagine. Again, I'm just guessing. I hope this has been of some help. Please remember, this is just my personal opinion. It is not law, so do please check with the Citizens Advice Bureau.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer to have a little general chat about it. But you are not qualified to give that answer.
No. It's not hers legally. So why should she pay to repair the building if it's not hers?
Sadly, we've run out of time, Tina.
Fair enough.
We'll be back in action next week. Tina Koumarianis, asktinak@gmail.com. Poor Katie was off sick today. Thanks to everybody who helped. Dave and Paddy and everybody who put their shoulder to the wheel today. Hopefully Katie will recover soon.
Oh, and before you go, you can wish me happy birthday. I'll be 70 on Friday.
And a big happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you get any special extra benefits? Who knows?
A free television licence.
All right. Good for you.
I hope so.
And you might even be on it.
You never know. Thanks, Declan.
Thanks, Tina. Good morning.
Hello. Bye. Thanks for having me.